5 minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Man, it was a wild weekend. Super wild card weekend. We'll talk about all things NFL playoffs, some big college basketball wins locally for Colorado State and the University of Northern Colorado. So we'll get into all of that. Very excited about it. But more excited to bring on our next guest. We've talked to him before, back when he was wearing the green and gold, Ryan Stonehouse, former Colorado State Rams punter. Now, in my mind, and I think in most people's mind, the best punter in the NFL. I'm just saying it. Ryan Stonehouse joining us, Tennessee Titans punter. Ryan, my man, thank you so much for giving us some time. And I was really looking forward to this one once we got this thing locked in.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Brady. No, I'm always happy to come on the show.
Ryan, dude, how you doing, man? It's been so fun. It's crazy following you guys in college because you're so close. Like, we get to see you up close and personal, chat with you, all that stuff, see you at practice. But then seeing you on the big screen, on TV every single weekend, and you just following your dreams, tearing it up, picking up right where you left off with Colorado State. What has this year been like for you, my friend?
Yeah, it's been surreal, you know. It's been a long year. Obviously, you know, your rookie season, you always hear about how long it is, and you don't realize it till you go through it, and quite frankly, till you're done. It's just been really cool. It's been a really cool experience. I mean, you know, getting the opportunity, you know, after the draft to come to the Titans and, you know, being able to compete with Kern, you know, just getting a fair shot there and having an opportunity, and then, you know, ultimately, like, you know, stacking games and then ending this year, you know, in a, you know, historic way, I think it's just such a cool honor. And like I said, it's a very surreal experience. So,
well, being named to the Associated Press's NFL All-Pro team, earning second team honors from the publication. You led the NFL with a single season record gross punting average of 53.1, ranked number 4 in net punt average with 44. Your net average was also an NFL record for a rookie, dude. I mean, did you see this? I mean, we all knew how good of a punter you were. I mean, we all just assumed you were going to go on and have a great career. But to do it in your rookie year, I mean, did you see that coming?
No, you know, I mean, I trained really hard this offseason, and I put in a lot of work and you know, just tried to put my best foot forward because I knew that, you know, wherever I would have gone, you know, or I guess I assume, but, you know, I would probably be in a competition, you know, just getting overlooked. And, you know, I knew that, like, it's going to be an uphill battle trying to get in the league, you know. And so I really paid attention to my, you know, offseason training this year and really grinded on that. And, you know, obviously I think that hard work paid off. But I also think it just helped me, you know, get that a little bit better and enough to, you know, make a statement in the league.
Did you kind of have a chip on your shoulder, Ryan? I mean, I just assumed you were going to get drafted. And then when I saw other punters, what were there, 3 or 4 guys getting drafted before you, I thought there was a glitch in the system. I'll be real honest. And I think everybody in the state of Colorado thought so too. I mean, did you go into the season with a giant chip on your shoulder?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've had a chip on my shoulder kind of, you know, my whole career. And I love that kind of narrative for me. And, you know, I think that it's just, and even now, you know, I mean, even with all these stuff, like, a lot of people are saying, you know, he still doesn't have the hang time and he, you know, he still doesn't have the net or whatever. And, you know, those kind of things do drive you to be better. And I think they're always good to have something that people don't think you can do. So absolutely, you know, I don't think I'll always carry that chip, you know, whether it's from college, whether it's into the NFL, I think it's a great thing to have.
Well, and it's got to be cool because you hear this with when we're talking about baseball all the time, you know, the elevation and all that, or even kicking here in Denver. Oh, guys, you can kick field goals, you can kick them better in the elevation. It had to be even sweeter for you because we saw you do it on the road all the time. All those people saying, well, he's punting at Colorado State. Yeah, but we saw you punting lights out no matter where you went. I mean, there was an art to it. So that had to be another notch on the belt, so to speak, for you to say, no, I can punt anywhere, man. And I can, whether it's Colorado State, Tennessee, all over the country playing NFL teams.
Totally. It's funny because, like, I know that because when I go train in California or I go train down in Arizona or somewhere that has no elevation, it's, it's kind of funny to, I'm just like, man, I hit the same ball here that I do in Colorado. I guess I just don't see it. And, you know, and then when people say that or make the argument against that me for it, and I always just laugh because I was like, man, I guess I've never seen it. You know what I mean? So just knowing that and knowing that that was something that people always thought was definitely nice to kind of, I guess, go out and show that it didn't really matter.
Well, what was it about Tennessee? Because, you know, at that point, you don't get drafted, which, again, just criminal. But when you're now, you're at least you get this opportunity where some people would say, hey, being a free agent's not that bad. Going to the NFL, you know you've got the right stuff. Now you can kind of pick where you want to go. So what was it about Tennessee that really just made it to you anyway, made it clear to you that would be your next home?
Yeah. They were on my list of teams after on free agency that I would have taken a call from and accepted. You know, I think they were like third or fourth, just purely based on, you know, Brett being there. I knew he was an older guy, but I also knew that, hey, like, this could be a really big opportunity to learn behind Brett. You know, if it didn't work out, but at least they liked me. Maybe they'd keep me on practice squad. That's another big thing that I thought, you know. Because all it really is just getting your foot in the door, you know. And I thought that there was, in terms of the high risk, that would have been maybe a lower risk if I would have went in there and showed out great, but they weren't ready to move on from Brett yet. I thought it may be a good opportunity, you know, just get my foot in the door. So ultimately, yeah, that's kind of why I mean, they, you know, a lot of teams kind of fell out, too, for me after the draft. I had you know, probably 10 teams that had contacted me during the draft that, you know, were more interested in me in free agency than they were the draft. But ultimately, after the draft, they kind of all went different directions. But Tennessee, you know, again, they kind of stuck in there and they gave me a call after. And, we, you know, my agent was able to work out a deal. And yeah, like I said, couldn't have been better.
I mean, it was everything, this rookie campaign for you. And then earlier, what, a week ago or whatever, a couple weeks ago maybe, I'm losing track of time, the Titans announced that your jersey, your cleats from the 2022 season were headed to Canton, Ohio. They're going to be displayed in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, that dude, that's just wild. Do you just stop and think, what in the heck, dude? My first year and all of these are coming, or all of these things are happening to me.
Yeah, no, it is surreal. I don't think it's set in yet, you know. I mean, I definitely realize the magnitude of some of these things, but I guess, you know, you don't realize it until, you know, you have enough time to appreciate it. And but it's definitely such a cool honor. Really unexpected. Obviously, like, that's something you don't have a goal to go get, you know. One of my goals was to be an All-Pro this year, you know, and to have the best average. But yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't, I would have never thought that, and it's super cool honor, just super surreal and you know, kind of awesome. That was something they requested, and yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, well, when are you going to make a trip there to go see that, or have you already? I mean, you haven't had that much time. Are you going to make a trip to go take some pictures of that, man? I mean, that's got to be pretty special.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. My cousin, she graduates from Toledo. In May or June, and my dad and I were talking. I was like, maybe we can make a double trip out of it and head up there to Ohio. So,
man, it's so amazing. And again, you know, Rams fans that followed you, you know, not to say that people want to cheer necessarily when the punter comes onto the field, but there was a lot of those cases, Ryan, where Rams fans were like, you know what, we got a punt, but Ryan Stonehouse is coming out here. Something special might be happening. Did you kind of get that sense at all with Tennessee where they're like, yeah, darn it, we have to punt, but we got a punter that's probably going to put their offense in a really tough spot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Titans are used to good punters. You know, Craig Hendricks and obviously Brett Kern, I mean, you know, two of the best. And so I think that there was a level of, you know, Titans fans like really wanting to see the punter, you know what I mean? And I know I had big shoes to fill, and I think that, you know, it's just something, like you said, having that chip earlier, that when you come in, you're just able to be in the moment and not worry about all that extra stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I think Titans fans really do appreciate punting, you know, thanks to my, you know, predecessors. I mean, that was something that they kind of pioneered here, so –
Well, and we're seeing it so much, too. I mean, field position is just so key, where you can put that football. It's no longer really an underrated thing when you're looking at the, you know, college football or the pros. And so having a guy like you is just so special. It can be such a weapon, and you prove that this year. Again, we're talking to Ryan Stonehouse, now all-pro punter for the Tennessee Titans. So many great things happening for this young man just in his rookie year. Ryan, I got to ask you this. They always say that, you know, college players, no matter the position, they kind of sometimes they get that welcome to the NFL moment, whether that's a hit they might take or just something that happened in practice or anything like that. Did you have any moments like that where you're like, wow, this is a little bit different than college?
Oh, yeah. Well, welcome to the NFL moment was definitely dropping the snap in the third preseason game. My Morgan Cox, the snapper, jokes with me about that all the time. But, you know, I mean, the game in the NFL is just magnet. You know, it's made a lot bigger than college. And so, you know, everything that you do is magnified. So I think that was something that definitely was like, yeah, it was a big deal, obviously, because I did that. And the fact that I got the first down turned that into a good thing. So, but that was definitely welcome to the NFL moment for sure.
All right, so what about some of your teammates? Are there guys that you connect with well? As guys that we've all here been following forever, I mean, anybody that sticks out in your mind as far as, hey, these are guys that I kind of hang out with.
Yeah. So one of my good buddies here, I hang out with a couple guys. Jack Givens, he's a undrafted linebacker who came on the last five games and has tore it up, you know. And, yeah, we hang out quite a bit. And Chance Campbell, he's another linebacker that got hurt. And, you know, before he had to go back to do some rehab in Maryland, we hung out quite a bit. But, yeah, those are just a couple. Kyle Phillips, he was a wide receiver at UCLA. He unfortunately got hurt too this year, but he was tearing it up in the beginning. You know, those are just a couple guys that I connected with. You know, when you go through this whole thing as rookies, you start getting close to guys, but, you know, it's tough because you never know who's going to actually make it. And I just got lucky enough that, you know, the four guys that I hung out with, they all made it, you know, this whole year. So Pretty cool to have that.
No question about it. We're talking to Ryan Stonehouse, former Colorado State Rams punter, now an all-pro punter for the Tennessee Titans. What's head coach Mike Vrabel like? We got to ask. We're getting listeners chiming in. Kind of want to know what that's like. How many, you know, you always wonder how many interactions you're having as a punter with the head coach on a consistent basis, but what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, he's an awesome guy, first and foremost. I mean, he's just such a player's coach, and he's so relatable, and that's kind of what you want, you know, as a player. You want a guy that's been through situations, you know, and understands, you know, the magnitude of your job and what it takes to be a pro. And that's Mike Vrabel, you know what I mean? He's a great guy, and he wants to win, you know, and that's what I want as a player. You know, I want to win, and you know, he wants that more than anybody. He's a very detailed coach. You know, as a punter, you know, when I have interactions with him, there's a lot of times where we go over the details of my job or what I need to do that week for the game. And, you know, he really resonates with players, and there's a lot of guys that respect him and will play, you know, their hearts out for Mike Vrabel just because of who he is.
It's so awesome to be able to talk to you, man, about your career and everything that you've achieved. What about one last one as far as teammates go? Derrick Henry, obviously, super stud. You know, we've watched him in college. My producer's a big-time Bama guy, so we got to talk a little bit about that. What's he like? Do you have many interactions with him?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple interactions with Derrick. Derrick's a quiet guy. You know, he keeps himself, you know, he's not a big rah-rah, but he's so locked in on his job, and you know, that's kind of one thing I saw with all the guys that were veterans here, is just how competitive and how locked in on their jobs they were, how focused. And yeah, you know, Derrick and I, we've joked a couple times about you know, who has the better state for high school sports. You know, he played in Florida and I played in California. I win that argument usually. But it's nice to be able to mess with him about that. But yeah, he's a great guy. Like I said, just you know, super locked in on what he's doing to in his job, and it's cool to see.
We're talking to Tennessee Titans punter Ryan Stonehouse, man. Okay, so what's last one for you, man? What's next? You're gonna take some time off. What are your plans? You said you might try to make a trip out to Canton and check out, you know, your jersey, your cleats there, which is so freaking amazing. But what do you got planned? You got any big vacation plans coming up?
No, yeah. I mean, I want to see if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl. You know, I'm the alternate behind Tommy Townsend, so I'll get an opportunity to go to the Pro Bowl, which would be awesome with my snapper. So that'll be in February if that happens. But yeah, I'm going to go see some family here for the next couple weeks, and you know, just kind of hang out. I haven't really had an opportunity, you know, in a year and a half just to hang out. So I want to take full advantage of this the next couple weeks, and then yeah, it's right back to training. Hopefully by mid February, I'm in full locked in and ready to go for the rest of the year. So I'm excited about this offseason, though. I'm excited to, you know, train and really fix a lot of the things that I know I can improve on.
Boy, and that just seems impossible. I mean, like, you were just almost perfect this year, but that's how you get to be where you are, man. You just you're never perfect. You're always looking for how you can correct even the smallest thing, and that's why you are doing what you do at the highest of levels. And all right, I thought I said last one, but I got one more. I know you're into your projects, man. You got this engineer mind too. That's what blows me away. Is not only are you a sensational punter, a great football player, but you're always concocting these crazy projects. I mean, you talked to us last year and sent us pictures of all of these unique items you were working on. Do you get any time to do that kind of stuff anymore?
Shoot, I wish, Brady. I mean, I live in an apartment, so it's hard to do that kind of stuff. But hopefully next year, I definitely, you know, I was telling someone that the other day, you know, I hope that I get the opportunity to do kind of that, my hobbies again. You know, hopefully, it's, you know, life slows down for me here soon. Just to be able to kind of get back into it. But yeah, unfortunately this last year was just so, you know, I was so focused on this that it's so difficult to kind of make time for that kind of stuff. But hopefully next year I'm excited to kind of get back into my hobbies, because you're right, they definitely were something I loved and enjoyed doing.
Oh, Ryan, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always, man. I'm glad you could make some time. And just congratulations to you on a tremendous season, rookie year, your career, of course, at Colorado State. And wishing you all the best, my friend. I know that there's even bigger things in store for you, man.
No, I appreciate it, Brady. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, okay? When you do make that trip to Canton, dude, share those pictures. I want to see them. That'd be fantastic.
Sounds good. I absolutely will.
All right, my man. There he is. Ryan Stonehouse, all-pro punter for the Tennessee Titans, was named to the second team NFL all-pro team. I mean, dude, the list goes on and on for this guy. Leading the NFL with a single-season record gross punting average, 53.1. He ranked number 4 in net punt average. His net average was also an NFL record for a rookie. And then the Titans announced that his jersey and his cleats from the rookie campaign were going to Canton, Ohio. I mean, dude, just awesome for him. Congratulations to Ryan Stonehouse. All right, 24 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. Let's talk about the Super Wild Card weekend. What a weekend it really was. Some surprises, some teams hung in that were supposed to get blown out. We'll go over all that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. What a wild freaking weekend it was in the NFL. Wild, super wild card weekend. And we still got one more to go. We still have Tampa Bay and Dallas tonight. So very much looking forward to that game. and what that's going to mean for the future of the Cowboys and the Buccaneers, let alone the actual game, too. So there's a lot going into all of this, but we'll get into it, man. My favorite play, got to be the Hubbard return. Hubbard, defensive lineman, just almost catches the tipped ball from Logan Wilson from Wyoming, who went to Wyoming. He's the one who knocked it out of Huntley's hand, goes into Hubbard's hands, and he delivers it for the long touchdown.
Puts him right around Huntley. He reaches. Oh, that ball's out. That's live. Back the other way. Sam Hubbard, the Cincinnati kid. Hubbard's got a convoy. Chased by Andrews. At the 30, the 20, he will score.
Who would have thought that's how that game ultimately would be decided, too? That was the decider. That was the big one. Some great games overall, some interesting coaching decisions and such for everybody, but overall, just a fun weekend. Angel, I think we're tied. I think we're tied in our picks right now.
We are tied through our playoff picks. We both went 2-3 in our games.
Ooh.
We both missed on that Cincinnati game, but yep. I got Jacksonville and Miami to cover, and you had San Francisco and the Giants to cover.
Yes, I took the Giants to win that thing, so I feel good about that. You took the Jags to win, I think, didn't you? Who would have thought, though? Friggin' third biggest playoff comeback in NFL history for the Jags to come back and beat the Chargers. That's got to be it for Staley, right? That's got to be it.
It's got to be. This was a game that I actually turned off.
I think a lot of people did.
I turned it off at like 27-0, put the Nuggets game on, watched the entire Nuggets game, and I look at the ESPN app and it's 30-28, and I said, What did I miss? What happened? Did I just miss the greatest game of all time? Kind of, but the Jags pull off the inevitable and beat the Chargers.
How about, did you see Trevor Lawrence? Did you see on a replay or anything? Trevor Lawrence's dive, his dive into the across yes. the line, you see that ball go over the top. Mm-hmm. I two things crossed my mind. Remember Urban Meyer at the beginning of the season last year? He said Trevor Lawrence is not a, he can't sneak. He can't, he's just not built like that. He's not going to be a guy that sneaks.
6'6".
It's just got to reach it over the top. Maybe not an underneath sneak, but a sneak's a sneak, right? Whether you're going underneath to the side or over the top. And Trevor Lawrence did that. Here's the other thing that crossed my mind is you're going to see more quarterbacks try to just do that because they know, all I got to do, man, all I got to do is just dip that football over. And now you're going to start seeing defensive linemen try to bat that ball away. You saw that with Huntley with the Ravens. So the complete opposite situation there. So I'll be curious to see if that's kind of a new trend on both sides of it where the quarterback thinks, I'm just going to go over the top and dip that football over everybody. On the other side is that defensive line. You think more and more. All right, just pop your hand up. Just do it. Just don't lunge in there for a second, but just throw that hand up to the top. See if you can bat something free. Crazy stuff, dude. Favorite playoff moment? Was that yours? Was Hubbard's?
Oh, no.
No?
No, no, no.
Even your Dolphins hanging in there was your favorite moment?
My playoff moment was start of the second half. Buffalo gets the ball 1st and 10. Miami comes with the blitz, knocks Josh Allen on his butt. Fumbles the ball, and big Zach Sealer takes it in. Dolphins take the lead. That was the peak of my weekend.
Now, for you, I suppose, but not many people are going to say a play for the losing team was the play of the game. But that was because you're a Dolphins
14-point underdog,
yeah.
And you can go toe-to-toe like that and take a lead in Buffalo with your third stringer. Man, that was fun.
Must have been all that vape.
Must have been that vaping. Magic Mike on the
McDaniel
sidelines.
Doing some vape.
It is nicotine.
As long as it's just nicotine, I don't have any issue with it. But if it's something else, then it's like, all right. Maybe that's why you didn't get the play in fast enough.
I don't know. But from what he said,
that was a weird deal. I'll give you that. That was a weird deal.
It was called on the field a first down. The guys up in the booth were telling him, hey, it's a first down. So he's getting his first down play in. Meanwhile, the refs are saying, actually, no, it's a fourth down. Mike McDaniel was trying to get his personnel switched out. Play clock is all over the place for some reason because there was an injury and then there wasn't an injury, so the play clock is supposed to stop. That was a weird situation, but proud of the Finns for competing.
Yeah.
Getting some respect.
Nobody
back.
Really thought that they, I, me included,
talked about
I thought
respect
they'd be blown out.
On Friday. I talked about it. Got to get your respect back. I think they did.
Maybe. I mean, it was a kooky weekend.
It was very kooky.
It was just a, like, nobody covered except for San Francisco. I mean, it was the Giants. Daniel Jones is like, I mean, they're talking about him being like an elite quarterback now. I don't know about that, but he can run.
He can Statue of Liberty at the best.
Oh, he's Statue of Liberty. He's running all over the damn place, dude. That guy can move. And hats off to Dable for saying, why are we not using this guy to run the football more? Because he can, and he did. They designed a bunch of QB runs, but even when plays broke down, he was rolling around. So that was nuts. How about Kirk Cousins? Needed how many yards? 8 yards, and he threw a 4-yard pass?
Yep.
I don't think that's on the coach either, because he had guys downfield. You can't send everybody deep on 4th and 8. You got to send somebody short. And if it's there wide open, you can run upfield, but that's got to be one of the worst. How's Brian doing, by the way? Our boy Brian Garrett.
He seemed okay this morning. He was putting most of the blame on the defense, calling them the worst defense in the history of the NFL all time. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, dude, it's tough.
What did you think about the roughing the passer call late in that game?
Which one? There were so many bad in that game too. There were some bad calls this weekend. But which one was that one? Was that the one?
That was like the last drive.
And they called it against,
it was against New York.
It was against New York.
When Kirk Cousins kind of just got thrown off to the side.
Anyway, the ball wasn't even out of his hands yet, was it?
I don't think so.
I mean, what's the defender supposed to do? Like, you grab a guy and then you start spinning him around and the ball's still in his hands. Are you supposed
can't
to
see it.
Yeah, you're supposed to let go in mid-flight and send him flying? Tell you what, man. That the officiating was rough. This weekend, a lot of missed calls, a lot of close calls that I thought, even when they reviewed, they came back and didn't overturn them or what have you. There were some weird stuff, very strange calls over the weekend. And again, I don't really fault the refs all the time on this stuff, Angel, because every single year they're given so many things they have to keep track of, so many different things are changing. And the officials, like, every year it's something different with how you can hit the quarterback or how you can't hit the quarterback. I saw several quarterbacks dive, and a guy swiped him at the head, and they didn't call anything.
Yeah, and it gets magnified in the playoffs because every play is important. Every call is, you know, nearly game-changing, and you don't want officials to have a lot of influence on the direction or the momentum of a game, but sometimes it happens. And, you know, they have to get better at it. I'm sure they're going to have plenty of meetings in the offseason to discuss roughing the passer. Maybe do you bring back PI reviews? Do you bring in a review for roughing the passer? So there's a lot of stuff the refs are going to have to get right.
He said, Chris, Angel, you probably know more on this one. I mean, I watched the game too, but you were probably like religiously in on this one. Brady, can you help me understand, toward the end of the Miami game, there was an issue on a first down. How come they never brought out the chains? Why didn't they bring it? I hardly saw anybody bring out we don't bring out the chains much anymore. We don't do that. Refs just place the ball and they call it yes or no. There's not a lot of measuring going on anymore.
No, and you heard it a couple of times throughout the broadcast yesterday was that, you know, automatic reviews, or the NFL has a review.
I heard that a lot.
They have a review
weekend.
Team that is looking at all these plays, and they will buzz down to the refs whether or not it is. I'm like, these things are happening so quickly. And so in the case of Miami, it's a, you know, third and short. I believe they run it, get right at the line. On the field, it was called a first down. Player gets hurt, so they call injury timeout.
Mm-hmm.
The play clock is all over the place. McDaniel's trying to get a play in. He's being told from upstairs that it was a first down, so he's getting this first down package out there. It's quickly changed. You don't have time to switch out the personnel. Play clock is down to 15. You got to call a timeout, delay a game. Bad management.
Did you hear this a lot in the regular? What did you say they called it again? I heard it all the time.
Like the automatic review.
The automatic review. Did you hear that a lot in the regular season?
Nope.
Was
like,
this
I
something
know it's
new
like,
in the
like
playoffs?
Scoring plays and turnovers are automatically reviewed, but stuff like spotting, they'll look at it and they'll make a quick correction, like if it's a yard or two off. But for a play as big as that one was,
right,
you need to make sure, is it a first down or not? Because one official says it was. The other official who's in charge of the clock is not communicating correctly, and the ref is trying to talk to the coaches to figure out what they're going to do.
Bizarre stuff. And I just hope that in the Super Bowl or next weekend or any of the playoff games, we don't have to come to... Like, I fell for you on that one with the Dolphins. It's like, it sounds like he thought it was a first down, and then they tell him like halfway through the play clock going, no, it's not.
And then it's so never communicated when the play clock is restarted.
Right.
It just pops up, and you're just supposed to see it.
Your play call for first and 10 is way different than fourth and one. Way different. First and 10, you're still operating because you have time.
They were driving at
that
point.
Yes, you have time. So there was a lot of miscues that really affected the outcome of that game. A lot of strange things happening in this, and I think we got to figure it out. If you're still, if the refs are still trying to figure out if it's first or fourth down, you have to reset the play clock or something, or stop it and then say, "Hey guys, just so we're clearly everyone's up to speed, you got 28 seconds left or 25 seconds left on the play clock."
Can we implement just an official's like? I know there's an official timeout, but if the officials are confused, hey, you're human. It's okay to say, "Oh, well, wait, hold on, guys.
Yeah,
we need to get this figured
out first.
Get
this right."
Instead of, "No, let's just run it. Just get the play going."
What drives me nuts, though, is you'll see officials take hours watching an obvious play on replay over and over and over and over again. And I know they get that from New York and stuff. But then we'll get a play like that, and they take 5 seconds on, and it screws everybody up. So, all right, we got to take a break here. A lot to get to. Isaiah Stevens, a historic night for him as the Rams came back. I don't know what happened. That game I blanked out watching. The Rams beat UNLV. UNC came back and beat Portland State. The Nuggets beat the Clippers handily without Nikola Jokic, and then they barely beat the Orlando Magic. Thanks to Nikola Jokic. A lot to unpack. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Clock starts on the pickup. Stevens takes the three. Jackpot with 5.3. 1 point game. Colorado State needs the foul. Stevens a steal. 3 seconds left. He stepped out of bounds on the way down. He'll get it again. A chance to work the baseline. Rivera to trigger. Floats ahead. Stevens with the catch. 1 second left. From the half court it goes. We're tied at 70. Jackpot in Vegas for Isaiah Stevens. Isaiah Stevens for Colorado State, well short on the elbow. How about a three instead? Yes! With 20.6 left.
Just got to play solidly.
10 seconds left. Tajay pivots. The freshman Jackson. Here's Stevens. Step back. He did it again! With 3.4, Colorado State leads by one.
You have got to be kidding me.
No, you're not kidding anybody. The Colorado State Rams get the dub. What was that, CBS with the call there, CBS Sports. Well, and also, let's just get this out of the way. Isaiah Stevens is the whole show player of the week. 33 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Makes the crazy half-court, almost half-court shot to send this thing to overtime. And then makes a bunch of other crazy shots. Oh, and then makes the final shot to end this thing. Oh, my goodness, dude. He was great. He was fantastic. I tweeted out that he's a candidate to be my player of the week. Everybody freaked out, Angel. They're like, "Candidate? What the hell do you mean, candidate?" Dude, I got to let the weekend play out, bro. I let it play out. So there was stuff happening the rest of the night. Stuff happening Sunday. Joker put himself right in the mix again. So did Dalton Connect for UNC. So it was an obvious choice at the end because of the win, the magnitude of the win, and the way Isaiah Stevens was in this game. But Joker and Dalton Connect, I think, were right there over the weekend. So it wasn't as easy as everybody was trying to make it, okay? I mean, Isaiah definitely earned it. It was kind of obvious, but there were some other guys that came in. I thought Francis in the Avs game over the weekend, I thought he was pretty good. The Avs shut out Ottawa 7-0. So, but you know me, Angel, it's going to take like record-breaking stuff for me to put an Avs player over basketball guys, right? I mean, Isaiah, Dalton, Dalen, Matt, Joker, Murray, they're all going to have to go to sleep for a weekend. I'm trying to be fair here. They'll have their time to shine, I'm sure. But what a weekend, dude. Greatness.
Crazy weekend.
Yeah.
My My TV remote was definitely worn in this weekend, flipping channels, turning off games that I thought were over, turning them back on because they're not over.
Right.
Craziness.
Well, Brian Gary was texting me back and forth about the CSU game, and then I'm at overtime, and I'm like, dude, I don't know, UNLV's kind of pulling away a little bit here, and not in overtime, in regulation. And then CSU pulls right back, and then in overtime, UNLV gets a nicer lead again, and then CSU comes back again. I mean, dude, it was just absolutely wild. So congratulations to Isaiah Stevens. So my poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com. Where does Isaiah Stevens rank in the best Rams basketball player of all time discussion? Top 20, top 10, top 5, top 3? I put top 20 in there because I didn't think a lot of people would go there. 31% of the hooligans are saying top 10. At this stage, I'm going to bring my guy Steve Ivey on with RamNation.com. He is a diehard Rams guy. So we're going to bring him on. He covers this team closely. He knows his basketball. So we'll get his thoughts on that on the a little bit later on in the program. 11:50 the time. More on the wild weekend that was in the NFL playoffs. The UNC Bears get off the schneid. They break a losing streak. That was important for them. So it was a very significant weekend in the sports world. Oh, by the way, there's still a coaching search going on, and we'll get into the latest on that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Thanks to On the Rocks Liquor, we're bringing you the game beer of the week. This one's from New Belgium Brewing, Voodoo Ranger Fruit Force IPA. You've probably seen this one around. It's a popular one. Pick up selections from New Belgium or any of your favorite adult beverages, and you can use the drive-thru or pop inside. That's On the Rocks Liquor, open 9 a.m. until 10 o'clock every single day. Join owners John and Tony on January 28th as they're celebrating their 12th anniversary. Door prizes, giveaways, all day long. That's January 28th, all day long, starting at 9 in the morning. They're going to have stuff to give away. So, you know, get your beverages for that night, whatever, while you're out there. Partake in the chance to win some door prizes and some giveaways. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. And the CSU Rams weren't the only ones to pull off kind of an unlikely win. Now, Portland State's not a world beater, but the way UNC was playing against them early in this one, Angel, I was very worried about this team. I thought, oh boy, would they lose 7 in a row? Thought, here comes 8. But Dalton Kanecht was special in this game. 31 points, 6 of 13 from the three-point line. He had 6 boards as well. And then you had Dalen Kuntz, who didn't have a perfect game by any means. He was struggling, much like the games before. But he ended up with 14 points, and Matt Johnson had some key three-pointers. So they find a way to get the win and break the losing streak. They win 69-67 over Portland State. That was a big win for UNC. I don't know what it means for the rest of the season, but they needed to stop the bleeding.
Definitely they needed to stop, and you saw the effort and the attitude they were playing with the last couple of games. It was there. It's not like they weren't trying. The shots were just not falling, but good for Dalen and Matt to get some clutch shots there. We've been saying it all year, when the big three are playing, this team is very good, and I'm loving what I'm seeing from these freshmen right now. Reynolds, Shaw, even Connor Creech is getting a lot of good minutes in there, so this team is rounding into shape, and I think this win can definitely help them out.
Is Dalton Kanecht the best team on the Bears roster right now?
The best team on the Bears roster?
Best player on the roster?
He's good at the sports thing.
Is he the best one?
Right now, yes.
Like
this season, yes.
He's been the best this season.
He's been consistent, and his ability of play has jumped majorly since last year.
Yeah, what the cool thing about him, he'll be back next year, right? I mean, he'll be back. He should be back next year, hopefully. All right, we'll talk more about the wild weekend that was in the NFL. And Angel, I love your attitude today, man. You're so happy because you know what? You went in with house money. Nobody expected the Dolphins to win. Everybody expected them to get killed. And with their 9,000th string quarterback, they actually kind of hung in there and made it a hell of a game. Second hour coming up next. We'll be right back.